We've been looking at the plan of salvation, and we ended off on our last program talking about how salvation is obtained. Now, some might say it's obtained through grace. I get salvation through faith. All you have to do is believe. Well, some say you have to do works. Some say you can't do works to be saved. Others say it's just the blood of Christ that saves us. So what really saves us? Well, the Bible says that we're saved by grace. It says we're saved by faith. We're saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved by the word, the gospel. We're saved by works. And we're saved by water. It actually says we're saved by all of these. So what makes sense is that all of these must happen together in order for salvation to occur. None of these alone will save us. Grace of God is what was involved in offering man the sacrifice of Jesus, even offering us the opportunity to be saved. But we need to have faith and believe in what needs to be done before we would ever act upon it. The blood of Jesus Christ was offered as a perfect sacrifice. Without that, we could not have paid the penalty of sin. And we need to hear the word of God so that we know his instructions for our life, so that we can understand what needs to be done in order to be saved. And those works that we carry out are in obedience to God's plan of salvation. And then we need to have someone baptize us, immerse us underwater for the forgiveness of sins. All of these verses that we looked at before harmonize together when we look at them working in operation together. So we're going to look a little bit more in depth at the different parts of the plan of salvation. The first part of the plan of salvation that we might bring up is hear. Hearing. We need to hear God's instructions in order to be saved. We need to hear what he wants us to do to be saved. On the day of Pentecost on Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up and told the people who had crucified Jesus and said to them, "You have crucified Jesus the Christ." And they said, "What must we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They wanted to know what could they do. They're in such a predicament now. What can they do to get out of it? Peter preached to them, but they needed not only to hear the words, they needed to be able to receive them, to understand them, and to be willing to obey. You see, I can hear lots of things, but if I'm not willing to obey it, then the hearing of those words don't really do me any good. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 shows us the picture of Jesus telling his disciples to go and preach. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Well, why would some be condemned? Because they did not believe. Does that mean they did not hear? No, they heard. They just chose not to believe. They chose not to obey. And of course, if they're not going to believe, they're not going to be baptized. They're not going to have the water wash away their sins. And they're certainly not going to live faithfully following Christ. So hearing must be in such a way that you're willing to listen and accept the truth when you hear it. We can hear from the Word of God. When we read the Bible, it is God speaking to us through his Word. Let's look again at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." The scripture there is given by God, and we can use it for doctrine. We can understand what to believe. We can use it for reproof and correction to correct us when we're wrong, and instruction on how to be righteous. We can learn what we need to learn in order to be saved. We can be, as the scripture says, perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. When we read the word and we hear it, we can proceed down the path of salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's our next step. Belief, or faith, is the next part of the plan of salvation. We saw earlier that one is saved by faith. According to Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, we're justified by faith. But that means we have to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. And how do we believe? As we saw before, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. So So we first hear the word, we hear about Jesus. When Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he taught him Jesus. And after that, the eunuch said, "Here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" He knew what to do in order to be saved because he had heard about Jesus. So we need to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is a verse that we look at for that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So many people want to stop right there, but if they really read this verse, they wouldn't stop right there. The word here, believe, is the Greek word pistuo, and that word can have a much deeper meaning than we give the word belief in our day and age. This word can also mean to totally commit to stake your life upon it, to stake your soul upon it in this case. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you do, you put your soul on it and you put your life on it so much that you will follow whatever he says and believe whatever he says, including being baptized, according to Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Belief means I believe that Jesus is God. Now, if God is speaking to you, that should have an impact on your life, right? If you believe that Jesus is God, then when he says you need to be baptized, aren't you going to pay attention to that? When he says you need to love your neighbor as yourself, aren't you going to pay attention to that? If you're not going to pay attention to that, then do you really believe that Jesus is God? If Jesus is God, we need to listen to everything he has to say. We need to have belief in him, as this verse says, if you believe on him, you'll not perish. But that belief should cause us to act. That belief should say, if Jesus really is God, then I need to listen to what he has to say. And if he tells me to do something, that's God telling me to do it. And I need to obey. Next comes, in our plan, repentance. Repentance is really a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and in verse 5, "I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance simply means turning away from our life of sin and going in the opposite direction toward the path of God and the righteous path. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 makes it very clear that repentance is important. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, this verse in the context is talking about time. Why has Jesus not returned? The heavens and the earth, they just continue the way they are. But you know what? That's God just being patient with me. It's saying, not willing that any should perish, but rather that all should come to repentance. He wants all to repent, to turn back to God. Sin is a rebelling against God and his law. So he says, please repent, turn back to me. So once we hear the word and we believe it, we say, what do I need to do then now? How do I need to act upon Jesus being God telling me what to do? How do I need to act and what do I need to do? I need to repent. I need to stop sinning and turn around. If I'm a thief, I need to stop stealing. If I'm a drunkard, I need to stop drinking. I need to stop my sin. And then I need to confess. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And of course, the opposite of that in verse 33, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We don't want to go up on the day of judgment and say, "I didn't believe in Christ," and Christ says, "I don't know who you are. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." We don't want to hear that from Christ because we want to confess him while we're here on the earth. We want to say, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, the God that came down from heaven, the Son of God, and lived here upon this earth." So our first act after we hear is to believe. Our next action is to repent. After that, we confess. And then we need to be baptized. If you remember from a previous program, we saw that salvation is in Christ. Now, if salvation is in Christ, how do we get into Christ? Salvation is in Christ according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. There it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy 2:10 tells us salvation is in Christ. Now Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 lets us know how to get into Christ. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Baptism is where we come into contact with Christ's death. We're baptized into his death. And what happened during Christ's death? Christ shed his blood. And that blood, as we know, is what has the power to wash away sins. When we are baptized, we crucify our old man of sin. We are buried under the water, immersed under the water, to be buried with Christ, to come into contact with his death, to come into contact with his blood, so that it may wash away our sins. And when we rise up out of the water, we are a new creature living a new life, repenting to turn to follow Christ. And when we are in Christ, then we have salvation. When we are saved, we are added to his church, Acts 2:47. The church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. And Christ will save that body, Ephesians 5:23. We're added to the church. The church is the body of Christ, and Christ saves the body. Salvation's in the body. Salvation is in the church of Christ. So now this is a lot of different steps. Hearing, belief, repent, confess, be baptized. And some people may say, well, all you need to do is be baptized, or all you need to do is believe, all you need to do is repent, all you need to do is confess. You know what? It's just like those other passages we looked at. They all work together, and they all harmonize together. If you hear and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you repent to say, I'm going to follow him. He is God. And you confess that belief before others. And when Jesus says you need to be baptized, then you do it and have your sins washed away. And once you've done that, you need to live faithfully. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Continuing to live in Christ, following him, following his commandments, believing, of course, that he is God and he is teaching you what to do to be saved. That doesn't mean you'll never sin, but when you do sin, he is willing to forgive you. In Acts chapter 8, Simon had been baptized in Samaria, but then he sinned, and Peter said to him, pray to God and repent that God might forgive you. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Christian can do. Once he has been saved and he realizes he has sinned, he repents, he turns away from it. He confesses that sin to God and asks him for forgiveness in prayer.